Now we shine your shoes like a looking glass. When that water hit them shoes, it roll right off. Shine. Now we shine that shoe like a looking glass, make a fly do that natural light shine.
Yeah.
Now we get them shoe like a looking glass, the water hit them, they're going to roll right off, shine. Now we hit them shoes right on the lip, where you know them shoes going to shine, they're going to glitch. Now we hit them shoes like a looking glass, them shoes gonna do the natural light shine.
testing, 1, 2, 3.
Now we gonna hit them shoes like a looking glass, when that water hit them, they're gonna roll out or shine.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not 100% sure that the show can be heard. But this is my first show, and today's show is sort of a introduction slash test show. But with the show, I'd like to basically give a short description. What exactly is the show about? You're listening to Signs and Wonders, and I'm your host, David Green. Why I decided to do this show is because for a long time I had a lot of different issues that were pressing, and so I decided to create a show to express the things that getting the things together for the show right now. First, let me introduce who I am. Right now, I'm living in Sweden, and I actually moved here around 2003, and I moved here after the World Trade Center bombings. And what happened was, I was working at a really, you know, it was like an internet type of job where I was doing web development, and it was one of these Fortune 500 companies. And at the time, I got laid off from the job. And I said to myself, why am I staying in the United States? So I decided to move to Sweden. And now that I'm here and I'm looking back on a decision, I'm actually extremely happy that I made that decision to do so. Because what we see is the economy going to hell. And basically everybody's rights being trampled on. And then we have the Patriot Act, and on and on and on and on and on. So, what I'm doing is I'm doing a show to basically combine the things that are happening with 9/11. And, you know, what's happening with the world in a worldly sense, and also what's happening in the world in a spiritual sense. And these things actually combine together, but what we must do is we must look at it, basically, like, we have to take a huge step back to see how all the pieces come together. And how we do that is, we can't just take one segment at a time. We have to take things in a broad picture, like in a broad spectrum. Meaning, like, if you have, when you're looking at a puzzle, you know, you don't really know what the puzzle is until all pieces are put together of the puzzle. And that's the same thing with what's happening in the world today. Most things that we see, we only see small parts of these things. But when we take a step back, the big picture comes together. And what I mean is, when, let's say, okay, 15 years ago, I started to come into the realization that life wasn't what it seemed. I mean, I always had this sixth sense, as you say, but 15 years ago is when I started to really understand it. There was a book that I read by an author by the name of Tex Mars, and Tex Mars wrote this book called, I believe it was Project Lucid, and Project Lucid talked about the Mark of the Beast and how Lucid Technologies would basically create these biometrics, with this RFID marks on the hand and all these things, and they had, like, I think it was SO9001. Anyway, there were these different tags that were supposed to put on people, and it was a physical mark. But what we've known now, what we've grown to know now, is that the mark isn't a physical mark. The Mark of the Beast is actually inside of your head. And it's the way that we think. It's the way that people do things. It's who they are as people. But to get back to the Project Lucid book, is it opened my eyes up to how the world actually sees these things playing out. And then as time went on, I started reading things about Catholicism, and then the history of Protestant, and how they actually went with the Bible. I'm not sure if many Christians don't. I mean, I really hate to speak bad about Christians, because I myself, I mean, I practiced Christianity for a long time. I was born into Christianity. Later on in the show, I will actually give you a I would actually give you a understanding on, you know, why I think the way I think. But to get back to what I was talking about, is 15 years ago, my walk started with reading a lot of conspiracy books, okay? Now, as you're reading the conspiracy books, you're looking at things through one's perspective. But then when you apply them to the word, everything comes together. So when you take a step back, you see the big picture. I know it took me a long time to explain that, but it's my first show. I'm a little nervous, so I have to, you know, I'm just rambling right now. But as time goes on, together, we are discover what is really happening in the world today, and I have a hard drive. I had to fill at least 300 gigabytes of information of videos and documents and books, you name it, I have on these things. And I'm going to create different blog files. And I have information that I want people to download and take with them. And which brings me to a point on why I'm actually doing this show. And the reason why I want to do the show is because I want to have something documented on audio, because we are really going to get into the meat of what's happening in this world today. And if many of you read my description has that I am a Hebrew Israelite. And many are saying, what is a Hebrew Israelite non-Jew? Let me read that for you. I am a Hebrew non-Jewish Israelite. I believe in Yahushua, pronounced Yahushua, the one that was renamed Jesus about 500 years ago. I love all people. I am race blind. It is time to set the captives free. Take heed to Hosea 4, 6, and set yourself free. And of course, Hosea 4, 6 is to understand knowledge is to not perish. For most people do not understand knowledge, and that is why the world is in the state that it is in today. Now, let me explain one thing. The name Yahushua, I say to pronounce is Yahshua, because many people don't understand that Joshua and Yahushua are actually the same name. And Yahushua, if you understand the characteristics of who Yahushua was, okay, and I'm talking about the first Joshua that we call Joshua. He took after Moses. He brought the children into the promised land. Okay? So if he brings the people into the promised land, he has a very powerful position. He also was fighting the children of the fallen angels. Okay? The giants. Who were these giants? Okay? Joshua. Now do a research on that name and understand that the pronunciation of Yahshua is Joshua. And look at the characteristics of these individuals. And, of course, Yahushua, the Messiah, the Savior of us all, our brother. Now, when I speak about Jesus and I say that he was renamed about 500 years ago, many of you understand that there is no J in Hebrew. That's why it's Y. That's why it's Yahushua, not Joshua. And Jesus was a name that was Latinized. Okay? So that has nothing to do at all. Now, this can be, a lot of people dispute it and debate this name, Jesus, and everything else. And I just have to say, do your research. Understand it. You know, 500 years ago, it was changed. Now, if they've changed the name, then they obviously want to take the power out of the name. And you say, well, who's they? Okay? And now this goes back to my first point when I was speaking about how you have to take a step back and see things in a way that you're looking at a puzzle, meaning that all the pieces of the puzzle have to come together before you can actually see what it is. Now, 500 years ago affects what happens to us today. Stumbling blocks have been placed in our paths today in order for us to not have a full knowledge on who we are. This is so deep and so complicated and so sinister that many people won't even take the time to do the research to understand what has actually happened to us. So, what I really want to accomplish with this introduction is just to give those that don't know who I am an introduction onto who I am as a person, and they can choose if they want to listen to what I say or not. But like I said before, I want this to be documented on audio, so later on it can we can go over the audio and listen to it, and hopefully somebody will hear it and some things that I say will touch their hearts. Do some research, and we can set captives free. Okay. Now, before we start, I'm going to play a quick audio. It's an audio tape, and it was recorded by Ozzie Davis, and it's called "Sing Slaves." And I want you to listen to this, because Ozzie breaks it down a bit on how the so-called African American, so-called Negro, was treated, and hopefully you can hear it, because Log Talk has been acting a little bit funny, but I'm going to play it now and let's see if you can hear this. Okay, and I'll be right back. It's 1 minute.
Slaves were expected to sing after work. A silent slave was not liked either by masters or overseers. Make a noise there. Make a noise there. And bear a hand were words usually addressed to slaves when they were silent. The remark was often made that slaves were the most contented and happy laborers in the world, and their singing was referred to in proof of this alleged fact. But it was a great mistake to suppose them happy, because they sometimes made these joyful noises. The songs of the slaves represented their sorrows rather than joys. They told a tale of woe. They breathed the prayer and complaint of souls boiling over with bitterest anguish. Every tone was a testimony against slavery and a prayer to God for deliverance from chains. To these songs I trace my first glimmering conception of the dehumanizing character of slavery.
Okay. Pretty powerful stuff. Ozzy breaking it down. The D characteristics of slavery. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, let me first, I forgot, and I hope God forgives me, but I forgot to say a prayer, and I need to say this prayer, and let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name that you help those that need to hear this message, Heavenly Father. Let them hear this message. I pray that you control my nervousness so that I can speak the things that need to be said. I pray that your spirit just comes here and takes control of the things that need to be put out there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me strength and knowledge and wisdom to know your word. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the things that I have in my health. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name that you continue to just be with me this day, Heavenly Father. I pray this in your precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, so let me speak on my description a little bit more. The Hebrew Israelite, non-Jewish Israelite, what is that? I think in order to give this justice, let me give a short testimony on how I discovered that I was actually a Hebrew Israelite, because before that I was just African American. And not knowing anything else. I mean, my father is from St. Thomas, and my mother is from Georgia, and my grandparents are from Georgia and Florida. So, and that's it. After that, I had no clue. But we know that we came on the slave ships. But how I found out that I was a Hebrew and how majority of us are Hebrews is through scriptures. I bought a, I read the Bible for many, many years. And I read the Bible many, many years because I grew up Pentecostal. But it wasn't just the Pentecostal denomination that I grew up in. I also grew up in Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, and then I kind of dropped all those titles and started to just study because I realized that there was so much conflict within those titles that I was like, I just want to know the word. So I read the Bible for years, but I never really read the Bible, if many of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you actually sit down and for yourself without someone else going over it and telling you what this means and that means and skipping over verses and then being led to areas of the Bible that they wanted to relay. And then you, you know, shake your head and this is, you know, you confirm it. And then it's like they take one verse and they just beat that verse to death. And then you're like, okay, I didn't really learn anything, but I still love God, you know? So anyway, what I've done was I bought a Bible on audio, and I forget the guy's name. It's some white guy, and he's speaking, and it sounds great. He's going through the verses and books, and hours and hours and hours, and I went through Genesis all the way to Revelations. And as I was listening to Deuteronomy 28 chapter, I said to myself, man, this is, that sounds a lot like slavery. You know, I'm not going to go over Deuteronomy right now, you know, due to time. But I'm listening to Deuteronomy, and it talks about going to Egypt with ships. I'm like, you can't go to Egypt with ships, you know, from Israel. You just walk. You know, why would you use ships? You know, there's a lot of different hints and clues there about going into bondage. And so I thought to myself, wow, this seems a lot like the slavery. But I put that in the back of my head because the tape is continuing on. And then I went in other parts of the Bible. I think it was in Judges, the books of Judges, when they were speaking about the how they were eating their children and they were starving. I said, well, this must be the part where they're talking about, you know, where the slavery is. But it wasn't. It didn't match up. And I was listening for that time, and I said, well, maybe it's the time, you know, during the time of in Jeremiah where they went to captivity, you know, we went to captivity. I was like, then this must be the time that the Deuteronomy 28 took place, but it didn't match perfectly. And I said to myself, well, when did it happen? And it better solidified that this actually happened to the so-called African Americans. We were the only people that can perfectly match Deuteronomy 28. The only people. But what really, that just lit the spark in me. What really got me was when I was listening to, I was doing research on the web about different things, and I came across a couple sites, and then when you start to look at it, it's everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Before, I didn't even see it. It's almost like when you buy a car and, you know, you're like, wow, it's a nice car. You know what I mean? And you own it. And then you look around and everybody got the damn car. But before, you were like, wow, nobody had this car before. I didn't see it. Well, it's because, you know, now it's into your reality. And now that this is in my reality, it's everywhere. And now I'm saying to myself, why can't other people see this? It's so obvious, you know? So anyway, another thing that happened to me was I was at work, my job, and I work at a bank here in Copenhagen. I actually live in Sweden, but I travel to Copenhagen to work. I'm working at a bank in Copenhagen, and the song "Kumbaya." Okay, I was reading articles about "Kumbaya," and my grandmother, she's Gula. Okay, Guya, and that's like, it's you know, they call it Geechee. That's where, you know, it's like they speak a certain way down south. But I was never down south with her, so I didn't get, I wasn't influenced by that. But it's part of my heritage, my grandmother, and we moved to the East Coast when I was, you know, when she was older, they moved to the East Coast. That's another story. But anyway, my heritage is in with this culture. And Kumbaya was one of the songs that were sung. And I did research on this song, Kumbaya. And when you do research on the song, they say, oh, the song was written by this person and by that person. They try to take credit for writing the song when the song was created by the people that live down there. And they're actually saying Kumbaya, you know, Kumbaya, Hua, Yahweh, Yah, you know. So they already knew the name, and they were singing about the name. And I was reading about the history of this, and just then it struck me like, wow, this is actually speaking about you and your heritage. And I went into the bathroom and cried like a baby, because it started hitting me, the reality on, wow, this is who I really am. So what I've done was I started to do more research, and I bought Babylon to Timbuktu. I bought After the Flood. These are different books that I've purchased over the years. Stolen Legacy. I mean, I just went crazy with reading. I read so many books I can't even imagine right now. And all these books are there. The information is there. And it just lays it out for you, you know? And for the past 15 years, I was looking at conspiracies and understanding how conspiracies work, you know? And I said to myself, the biggest conspiracy of all has taken place right in front of our eyes. And I'm a part of that conspiracy in a huge way. And I didn't even see it, you know. But because I understand how conspiracies work, it wasn't hard for me to be like, aha. And most people, if you tell the average Christian about what's going on in the world, about conspiracies and Satan, they look at you like you're crazy, because Lucifer exists. Lucifer is a part of all of this. And most Christians, when you talk about Lucifer, they look at you like you're crazy. And that, to me, I just don't understand. See, I didn't understand that then, but even more so now. And what's happening is people are in mass mind control, okay? In mass mind control. We'll get into that later. But I almost lost my thought. But what I'm talking about is when you read all these books and you understand that the information is out there, it is so easily seen. Okay? Like in my description, I talk about I'm a Hebrew non-Jewish Israelite. Now, when I say non-Jewish, it's not to be hateful or anti-Japhetic. And I can't say Shemitic, because that don't make no sense. It's anti-Japhetic, if you want to be really proper about this, because it's in plain sight in Genesis that Japheth, you know, born Ashkenaz, 85% of the people in Israel, or 85 or 90%, that claim to be of the Hebrew lineage are actually of the Ashkenaz lineage. Okay? So, I mean, it's out there. Just read it. And yet, they still claim to be the Hebrews of the book. And I'm like, it's so obvious. You go to Wikipedia, and you can look at it on Wikipedia. You know, this one guy, this is a book, I'll get the author for you guys later, but it's After the Flood. This book actually just talks about the lineage of Japheth, and it breaks down the Britons, the Franks, the Celts, Saxons, everything. It traces them all back. They got all their history intact. We don't have our history at all, but they got it all intact. All they have to do is look at their history, and they know that those people over there in Israel are not the people of the Shemitic line. They are not Eber. They are not Hebrews. It's a lie. It's like the biggest conspiracy of all. And like I said before, it's easy for me to recognize a conspiracy because 15 years I've been studying them. So, and it makes me really angry when, you know, we have things like in May, what was it, May 31st, when they had the Florida attack, and these people go to try to deliver food to Gaza, and it's like obvious they're killing people, unarmed people, and our news kind of like whitewashes it, and, you know, people are like, you know, the average Christian are saying, how dare these idiots try to break this blockade on Israel so they can kill the Jews. I mean, I don't know what's going through their mind, but they can't even see that these people are murdering people trying to deliver aid to people. What's Christian about not standing up for that? I mean, you have to stand up to that. Anyway, I'm losing my track here. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you do the research and you take your time, you will know who the people of the book are. And I came to the conclusion. I know that Lucifer, for his existence, needs for us to be hidden, or needs for us to be I'm trying to find a word. Okay. He needs for us to be seen as Negroes or just the bottom of the barrel. So nobody listens to us. No one would even think of us being the chosen people. Okay? And his power comes from the fact that we are the lowest denominator, you know, but this is just part of the prophecy, you know, which when you go to Deuteronomy 28, hey, talks about this in the prophecy. I mean, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about, you know, if you do follow the laws, then you will be able to lend the people, you know. When's the last time you heard us, you seen us lending anything? But the people over there in Israel are lending like crazy. Goldman Sachs, they own trillions. I mean, wherever you look, they're everywhere. You know, and the thing about this is, if by me speaking about this, you know, they label you in a certain way that you are speaking against people. But you're not. You're just stating facts. You're stating what's actually happening. And this right here is the device of Lucifer in order to take your mind off of those things. It's like a little mind control that's being used to make you stop. Don't talk about it. You don't want to be anti-Semitic. Shut up. You know? And then people, out of fear, don't speak about it. So then it keeps going on and on and on and on and on. You know? But hopefully, what I can accomplish on this show is to bring to light certain things where I can give tools to people that they can use in a loving way, in a peaceful way. And this message actually isn't for everybody, you know? This message is for those that are awake or that want to be awake or that are awakening, you know, meaning that a lot of people are looking at the situation saying, wait a minute now, there has to be more than this. I mean, these prosperity preachers. I mean, I have, you know, people that I know that are preaching in the ministry, and it breaks my heart because I'm like, if you were to just teach the truth, not watered down, you know, not circus, just teach the truth. So many people that need it would be saved. You wouldn't have to worry about your church being filled up, you know? And if people aren't listening to the truth, what are you doing anyway? What's the point? I mean, you have to answer to the Most High when it's all said and done. What are you scared of? You know? So if it's not fear, then it's ignorance. That's why I say Hosea 4:6, lack of knowledge. You know, we're destroyed by the lack of knowledge. And people get out there and they speak without any research, any bravery. I mean, what do you have to fear? I mean, look, I've read the Bible. So there's a book called The Lost Books of the Bible. You read these books. These are books, the Apocrypha books that you can read. Then there's the Dead Sea Scrolls, Qumran, the Caves of Qumran. I think that's how you pronounce it. But there's books in there that you can read that actually speak about the different books, and it breaks them down in different ways. The Book of Enoch. I mean, you put all this together. You know, these books are taken out for a reason. There is like a, there is a teaching on the fallen angels, whom are enemy number one, whom are the principalities in high places. These are the principalities in high places that we should be speaking about, that we should be talking about, that we should be knowing about. These are the bloodlines that are controlling the world today. You know? Well, I listened to the Kofa Network. And actually, I'm going to speak about these brothers. These are some awesome brothers, by the way. If you have a chance, they're actually on Blog Talk. Go to Kofa, listen. They did a documentary called Hebrews, or the so-called Negroes. Hope I got the title right. But anyway, look up Kofa. And anyway, these guys, they speak on this so well, and they break it down so well. And I'm so happy that, you know, that they're doing it, because we need more brothers like this out there, you know. We need more brothers out there like this. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. And here's another song I want to play. Oh no, my playlist done went shot. Okay, sorry about this, guys. My Blog Talk. Oh, here we go. Okay, this one is called Steal Away. And sit back and listen to this, and I'll be right back.
Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away home. I got lost to
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That song was entitled Steal Away to Jesus. That was by Kinsey West. That's one of them old school jams. Actually, I'm actually playing this a lot of things from called Every Tune a Testimony, an African American Oral History. This is a great CD because the CD has the oral traditions, testimonies against slavery, voice of pride and protest, reconstruction and reparations. Well, we ain't getting no reparations, but we don't need any because we are the chosen ones. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me get back to what I was saying. Okay, we have about 17 minutes, and if there's anybody that would like to call in, the call-in number is area code 347-826-9484. Now, I don't think there will be any callers because I did not really promote this show. Like I said before, the show is basically a test slash introductory. And I'm doing a lot of stumbling and page turning and ums and stuttering and everything else because this is my first show. And I need to hear it and go over it and listen to it because I'm actually not really familiar with the Blog Talk switchboard. And I wasn't sure how I would sound, if my speakers were fine. You know, those of you that have hosted this show can relate that. You know, you're kind of trusting in things that you don't understand yet. And you have to listen to it. Then you can adjust how you approached it and come back at a different way, you know. And I do like how Blog Talk has these little music files you can upload and things and stuff. But anyway, let's get back. Okay, for the remaining 16 minutes, let me see, what do I want to discuss really quick? One thing. If you notice in my profile, Deja Green, Deja stands for David James Green. And my Hebrew name, of course, is Dawid Yaakov. And, you know, that's the name my mama gave me. So my mama gave me Dawid Yaakov. And I would like to use my Hebrew name when speaking to introduce myself. But I'm going with David Green right now. When the Most High tells me to use Dawid Yaakov, I will use Dawid Yaakov. But for now, it's going to be David James Green. Now, if you notice the HebrewIsraelite.eu, now there's a little story behind that site. If you click on it, that is from the HebrewIsraelite.org site. This is one of the sites that I seen when I was first, you know, waking up, you know, who I was as a Hebrew. And I said, wow, these guys, I got it going on. You know, they're like, they have the history down. They got, you know, they're doing speaking engagements. They're like, they got it going on. And I said, you know what? My profession, because what I am a professional, I'm a developer, you know, like an architect of the internet. I've been doing it for about, since 98, so about 12 years or so. And so, you know, this is what I do. So I said, you know what, let me just build the site for these guys and redesign it and put it out there. So then give it to them and then they can have a site in Europe, you know? So I basically bought the URL, I paid for the hosting, put it out there, and then, you know, I told the brothers, look, I just want to mirror the site, but just clean it up a bit and have it out there for you. So, and that's the basic story behind that, is it's basically a duplication of the HebrewIsraelite.org. It's just, you know, basically has a different paint job on it, and put it up there, hosted in Europe, because you never know, they might put that site down, and then if the brothers need the site that I have, they can use it, and then, you know, I'd totally like to help. And that's another organization, the Hebrew Israelites, that are doing good work, and I'm happy that they're there, and I'm happy they're doing their thing. And just like COFA, you know. Anyway, so that's what that site's about. So if you click on that, you go there, go to the .eu site. It's the same thing as .org, and we can use that. But to tell you, in the future, though, I'm actually going to design another site, and this site is going to have different blogs that I'm going to do on there, different events that I'll be hosting, and I'm going to actually do kind of audiobooks on different apocryphal books that I've read. And these audio formats are going to be easily downloadable, and you can follow the book and read them. And I also have different books that you can take, because, you know, I feel what was effective for me could be effective for other people. And when you listen to something, you know, you have that sense of just hearing. And that sense of hearing actually does something to you internally, where if you're reading something, it's kind of, you know, you have the sense of reading, and then you have to cross-reference, and sometimes you're not 100%, did I read that right? Or is this the word I'm looking up? But when you listen to something, you kind of goes into your subconscious, and then certain things happen to you where you understand it. So what I want to do is I want to put these different apocryphal books on audio. So when you hear it, you can start to see how related these books are to the actual books that the Catholic Church has allowed into the Bible. Now, you got to think about that now. The Catholic Church allowed these books into the Bible. Not to say that they're not good books, but why did they leave the books out? And what gave them the right to leave the books out? And why aren't Christians questioning it? They're like, oh, okay. You know, and that's another subject. I mean, actually, there's something that you should look at online. It's called the National Sunday Law. Now, there's a book written in 1998 called the National Sunday Law, and this one talks about, you know, how they wanted to make Sunday the national law of which we should all worship, when everybody knows it's actually Saturday. You know, and that's been changed. One of the commandments that they decided to just break, the Catholic Church decided to break it. But the new version, you just have to look at the National Sunday Law, and it actually talks about, it goes after the attacks on September 11th. The other one actually talked about the attacks in Iraq. So it's kind of like updated, you know, 10 years later. Anyway, it's something that you should look at, and actually put that on, I'll put that on my site also, link to that once I get it up and running. But the reason why I mentioned that article, because it goes perfectly to what I'm talking about when it comes to them changing the books. Now, the Apocrypha actually has a lot of different books in it. And one of the books that aren't in the Apocrypha is the Book of Enoch. And this book, the Book of Enoch, you know, I think it was first written, I think, in like the 1830s or 1840s or something. And it was translated. But it actually talks about the Messiah, and it talks about the fallen angels. It talks about what happened in the flood. It talks about the giants. And these things are very important. And you notice that most of the books that they decided to keep out are the books that related to the fallen angels. You think about that. If I'm trying to hide something from you, then that thing that I'm trying to hide from you, you should really pay close attention to. Actually, the COFA network, they have a new video coming out. It's called Your Fathers Have Told You Lies. And I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, But I think they're going to hit on the fallen angels, because they talk about the children of iron and they talk about the children of clay. And, you know, at first I thought they were speaking about the children of iron being the Gentiles, which are the white man, and the children of clay being, you know, the black people. But the more that I hear it, I think they're actually talking about the children of iron being those of the fallen angels. You know, now that makes more sense. I could be down with that, because to me, we have to understand that the seeds that were mixed, this has been happening for a long time. It happened in the garden. This is the reason why the flood came. They didn't all die in the flood, or Joshua when it went on a killing spree with the early Hebrews. They cleansed the land. And if you can understand what happened, the cleansing of the land, the Canaanites that were mixed with the fallen angels, the giants, is the reason why the Hebrews were able to settle Jerusalem in Israel. The reason why the Most High gave us Israel is because we cleaned it out of giants. Okay? Since we cleaned it out of giants, therefore we have captured it and taking it over. It's a whole study. I mean, the book of Joshua really breaks it down. And there's also a book of Yasser, which is mentioned in Joshua. When you read the book of Yasser, it gives you a lot of detail. I mean, lots of detail. Actually, there's one thing that I'd like to mention about the book of Yasser. When you read the book of Yasser, you should understand that it talks about the time when Joseph was in Egypt. And as he was in Egypt, and then when Moses was born, okay, after Joseph died, Moses was born. Moses' mother was a daughter of Levi. Okay? Now, she was old when she had Moses. Now, she lived maybe 120 years, right? And then Moses is born. Moses lived maybe 120 years, okay? So Moses came back to free the children from Egypt. So when he came back to free the children from Egypt, they didn't spend 400 years there. A lot of people say there was 400 years was in Egypt. It wasn't in Egypt for 400 years. What happened was Moses came, and he was, I think he was like 80 years old when he came, because he died at 120. You know? And actually, when Joseph died, he was in Egypt 108 years. And then after he was in Egypt for 108 years, then that's when hell started for the Hebrews, for the Israelites. And now, the hell wasn't there for another, 290-something years? No, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't even 200 years, 150 years. You know, of course it wasn't 430 years or 400 years. So where did these 400 years come from? Anyway, so you have to read the book of Yasser. And it breaks it down in different times. So I just want to let you know, if you really listen to this, please do some research. Understand that you have been lied to. You have been deceived. You really have to start studying. Understand what exactly is a Jewish person. What does that mean? Does that have anything to do with the Hebrews? Does it have anything to do with the Hebrews? You know? And it's not to dog these people. You know, I have friends that are Jewish. You know? And they don't even know this. I mean, think about it. This goes back to the time of Babylon. It goes back to the time of Babylon. Think about this. Babylon, Hebrew. Right? Babylonian Hebrew. That's telling you something right there. It's not Paleolithic in Hebrew. Okay? It's not ancient Hebrew. It was ancient Hebrew, and then during the time of the Babylonian captivity, it was transformed to Babylonian Hebrew. And when the Babylonian captivity started, that's when your Ashkenazis came in there, your Sephardics came in there, your Samaritans came in there, and then you had the Hebrews. So now we got four different people living in the land. Okay? After those four different people came in, then it came from, it was Nebuchadnezzar, and then the Medes and the Persians. Then the Greeks came in. For 300 years, the Greeks were there, and then it was taken over by the Romans. And you still had the Sephardics, okay, the Ashkenazis, okay, the Samaritans, and the Hebrews. Now, what happened is once our brother, once the Messiah was born, then we, you know, he was going against all these people. And then, you know, I only have 2 minutes, so I can't get really too much into detail, but I'm just saying that the Babylonian Hebrew goes back to 600 B.C., and it's still there now. So that's 2,600 years of deception. You just can't let it, you just can't, you know, it just, it's not going to turn overnight, but you understand that this is a battle. We're in a battle, and it affects everybody. And the world is the way it is because of this lie that has been going on so long. But the time is now. People are waking up now. You know? I'm a Hebrew, non-Jewish Israelite. Understand that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. This was, once again, like I said, a test broadcast. And next show, I'm going to be a little bit more professional and have a little bit more preparation. But like I told you before, I just wanted to test. And thank you so much for coming and listening to this show. I hope that everything is working fine. And I'm going to play one last thing for you. Thank you for coming.
It is glorious. This history of ours, it is a great story, that of the Negro in America. It began way before America was America, or the USA, the USA. It covers a wide span, our story. Let me tell it to you. Thank you.
Good night, cutie.